Good morning, everybody, and Happy New Year. This is Elaine and I's first time at Dallas this year, so it seems like New Year to us. If you want to turn to Matthew 6:24, we'll read there in a moment. And as far as I have arrangements right now, we'll be here every Sunday till the first Sunday in March. How do you like that? So, is that 7 weeks or something like that in a whole row, which is quite a bit. I'm learning to say no. Okay, and I did it again Saturday, I guess. The church Cave Spring up in Tennessee called, and I just said no, I can't make it. So anyway, here we are. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. This is Jesus speaking, Sermon on the Mount. And we're just jumping into, toward the end of it, I guess. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's very familiar ground, I think, to all of us. Far back as I can remember these verses. I don't know which ones I remember first in my mind, but certainly this would be one of the first ones in my recollection as a child and trying to learn and read and study a little bit, and hearing preached, and even from my folks trying to do some Bible studies at home. But let's go through it today, and maybe we can learn again. The Apostle the Apostle Paul told Timothy to stir up their pure minds. In other words, sometimes these things settle down into the bottoms of our mind. We need to get in there and stir it back up. So if there's nothing else than just a stirring, I'll be satisfied. So verse 24, no man can serve two masters. Right off the bat, Jesus is starting this thing that you've heard me say over and over, and I'll say again. We live in a physical world. Here we are, and we're physical. It's just what we are. It's where we're at, on planet Earth. We're in a time, space, physical box, and we didn't get in it, and we can't do anything really to get out of it in some respects, but unless something else invades our box and does something, here we are. Well, we believe God has invaded, and it's like I ask, this world, this physical world, is it the real world? Did it come first, and then over yonder, wherever God is in heaven, and it comes second? Does this world, the physical, uphold the spiritual? Or does the spiritual world uphold the physical? Those are redundant questions. You know the answers to that. If you've been any time in thought about God and understanding any tiny bit of God's word, obviously, God's been forever. He inhabiteth eternity. How do you do that? But he's meaning he's been there the whole time. But you can't even say time because there's no time. It's just he's always been, and he's in eternity, and he inhabits it. And time that we're at here is just, it's not even a speck or a bleep on the timeline of eternity, so to speak. And here we are. Well, Jesus is starting to show these folks here there's physical and there's spiritual. And he's going to teach us a lesson out of the physical to understand the spiritual better. And that's pretty much all of Jesus' teachings and many of the others. So what he's saying is, you're not going to be able to serve two. You can only serve one. You're either going to hold to the one and despise the other, or you're going to obey one and not the other. And he's making it there, as he said, there at the end, you cannot serve God and mammon. There's no way that we're going to be able to equally serve the spiritual world of God, the world that God lives in, and the physical world that we're at here. We can't equally handle that, all right? That's where we're at. Can't do it. If you say you can, I'm sorry. I'm going to go with the Bible instead of what you tell me. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought. Interesting little phrase. It comes up several times here in verse 25, over in verse 28, in verse 31, and again in verse 34, which we didn't read. But take no thought. Is that saying that just don't think about it? No, that's not what, I mean, the words literally may say that. What's it saying is don't be anxious about it. Don't get worried about these things. And part of the reason I feel that way, if it's that it doesn't mean take no thought or don't you think about these things, which when he gets down in here, he talks about what we eat, what we drink, and what we wear is what we're going to get into there a little bit. Well, let's just go back in this same chapter. Go back to verse 11. This is the model prayer. He says here, when you pray, that this is how you're supposed to pray. And down in there, it's like, our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, if we're supposed to take no thought of tomorrow and the bread, and take no thought of what you eat, then why are you over here praying for it? You see what I'm saying? It's meaning this, don't let this be your focus. Don't let this be your center of thought, that I've got to, my main purpose, the main thing, is I've got to get it so I've got food to eat, clothes to wear, and water or, you know, something to drink. Take no thought. Don't be anxious about that. It does say that we need to pray and say, Lord, bless us today with our daily bread. So he goes on through here. Take no thought of your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? And he goes on and talks about how there's the fowls of the air. And they don't sow, in other words, plant. They don't go out and have a John Deere 6-row corn harvester and gather it into barns. The other day, in our backyard, Bea and I were noticing where the places that we had walked out in the snow and the little holes it made in the snow, the little birds, I call them songbirds. I don't know what they are. They're not wrens. They're not sparrows. It's just a little songbird. And little guys, and they were fluttering along, and they'd walk on the snow, and they'd jump down in that hole, and you could see them picking. They're eating. God had fed them. He had provided for them. The birds of the air, he provides for. Even when it's covered in snow, he's provided for them. Behold, the fowls there, they neither sow nor they reap, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Saying, God looks at his creation of people, and especially his children, his born-again children, or what we'd say the elect or the called, they are his, and you're better. He takes more, those are therefore our needs, and you're his love. Shall we say it that way? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? We know we can't. And why take ye thought for raiment? Why are you getting all upset and worried and nervous? I mean, it's a huge industry in the world as far as fashion and keeping up with all of that stuff. We're not supposed to become anxious over it. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow... I missed the verse there. That even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these lilies. And if God clothes the grass, which today is, tomorrow is in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, again, that's being anxious or worried about these things, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you need all these things. But. Now, y'all know that's one of my favorite words. Every time I go to talk about but, I always think about Brother Ray Boyette, and his word was is. And he and I would sit, I remember at community church, many different times out there in the lunchroom, and he'd talk about is. This glass is red. That's just, or if it was blue that day, whatever. And I'd say, well, but we've got this, we can go into a comparison of what's going on, or more a contrast of what we're saying. Well, here Jesus is showing us this contrast. He's taking the physical, and he's picked out three items: food, drink, and clothing. Is his three physical items. He's going to make a spiritual thing about it. And he's also in verse 32 saying, making a spiritual contrast, saying that after these things do the Gentiles seek. In other words, the people of the physical, they're seeking these things. That's what they do. Don't you be like the people that are just physical. You're more than that. You're spiritual. Folks, when you're born again, you're blessed to have a soul. It can be called different things, but there's a soul aspect to us. I don't want to say in us, because it is us. And yet we still have the physical. It gets complicated, shall we say. But as much as I'm standing here physical, I believe in every fiber of my being that I'm also standing here as a child of God. And I don't know if there's fibers in that being, okay? But I believe it. I totally believe it. And so now Jesus is here trying to teach us the difference and this contrast. Here's the physical. And you guys, you need food. Man, I spend a lot of time worrying about food. I make sure I get three meals a day, and if I can, I squeeze in a fourth, and it's usually ice cream, all right? That's a meal in itself, absolutely. drink, what's my favorite drink? Anybody know in here? Thank you, Dr. Pepper. That's right. And what about clothing? Well, that probably goes downhill from there, but I don't spend as much time worrying about what I wear, but I do like to be clothed. You know, it'd be a little weird to be up here and very scantily dressed, shall we say. But Jesus is taking these examples, physical, all right? And like I say, we spend a lot of time. Brother Sam, Brother Marty, and I talk about doing brisket from time to time. I did a 21-pound brisket the other day. How many hours does that take, that preparation? Well, about 21 hours, maybe 24. I need to put a new gasket in my green egg because the wind was blowing enough and there was enough air going through between the top and the bottom. I couldn't keep the temperature down around 225 or so where I like it, 230. It just kept running up to 290. And the brisket got done about 16 hours and was dried out. So, but see the time I've spent in studying and learning and figuring, here we're spending time worrying about what we eat. Well, there's nothing wrong with spending time as long as we keep it in perspective. As I go back into the model prayer, Jesus says that we, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. We are to spend some time thinking about it. But here is all of this time that I do spend at it, in a physical sense. And what I drink, you know what I mean? I've got waters in my truck. I'm riding down the road, and I know that a quick trip or a racetrack's coming up. I'm going to get me a nice 32-ounce icy Dr. Pepper just to go instead of drink the water. Stop my truck, you know, 250 hives of bees on the truck. They're just going to have to wait because I'm going to go. You see, time spent. All right. How many of you go to Walmart and spend a lot of time in the clothing department? Well, not many, probably. I know I've done it, but somehow those clothes just don't fit me quite the way I like. So I'm usually at a different store, but I buy enough at Walmart. Anyway, so here's this contrast. But he's taken these three things, clothing, food, and drink, and it's going to show us this is physical, and you spend time thinking about those things. There's just no question. But the contrast. So the word but is so beautiful because it has to kind of weigh the same on either side of it. It's kind of the fulcrum of a seesaw, and we're up here seeing what it is. So here's the weight of the physical, but let's go to the other side and let's see what Jesus is trying really to teach us in this thing. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But seek. Well, the word seek is an interesting word. I looked it up, and it, you know, has German roots and I don't know, I forget the different roots. But you go back even before that, and it says it's as a dog trying to find the scent and following the scent. Now, I don't know if you've all seen your dog, you know, go try to find a scent. If you haven't, come to my house. If you could hook a vacuum cleaner up to my dog's nose, we'd have the cleanest yard you ever saw. Because that, I mean, she just smells. And when she gets on a rabbit trail or something, she's got the scent. But it's not like she just knows exactly where the rabbit went. The rabbit's gone. But there's a scent left there. And so she runs along and loses the scent. And then she works back and forth, finds the scent, and goes again. So we're to seek as if we were able to decipher that there the difference between this natural and the spiritual. And we're seeking the spiritual. We're seeking God. And we're seeking because we need to take the spiritual aspect of what he's saying in the natural, feed our souls. My soul needs fed. Does y'all's soul needs feeding? Are y'all thirsty? Let's go back just quick to read something David said in Psalm 63:1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. David's saying that my soul, Lord, is so thirsty. Please come and give me a drink, Lord. My soul is thirsty. He's not talking about his tongue. He's not talking about Dr. Pepper. He's talking about the Lord. And Lord, I want to be with you. I want your presence. I'm thirsting after you. Have y'all ever been out and worked hard and sweat and on a hot day and you get in the house and that glass of ice water just was so refreshing? Well, so it is with a thirsty soul. Your souls, Jesus is trying to teach us, our souls thirst. our soul's hunger. He's taken the natural example of our physical bodies, just pulled three things out. He could have pulled more out. He could have pulled out maybe the idea of security or the idea of housing. We need housing physically. How would you all like to have been homeless last Friday morning at about 6:30 when it started snowing like it did? And then rain through the day at about 34 degrees and ice forming on you. How would you like that? No, we need housing, and God is so good to bless us to be able to have housing. But Jesus has just pulled these three examples out in the Sermon on the Mount of food and drink and clothing. And David is using the drink idea here. And early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh, he's using the word here, flesh, not as this, but it's his soul again. It's his body he's talking about. My body is so longeth for thee. And where's he longing? In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Folks, for the soul, for each one of you that's born again. And I don't believe you would have come out on a cold Sunday morning if there wasn't some desire inside of you somehow to hear about God. Your soul's thirsting. Your soul's hungering. I hope you've prayed so that what I'm talking about from God will feed your souls. I desire to see your souls fat. How do you like that? I want you plump. I want you well-watered and well-clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? I love the comparison. You see the comparison Jesus is saying? But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, we'll get into that a little more. But one other thing I want to draw out of here, this land, this natural world over here, for the soul is desert. It's just hot sand. And that's what David is telling us here. Where no water is, longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. What is that? It's a desert. And I, you know, we watch the old cowboy shows, and his horse, you know, keels over from thirst on the hot day, and he takes the canteen and shakes it, and there's that little bit of water, you know, and he tries. For 3 days, this man's walking with that little bit of, that didn't happen, folks. He didn't make it till lunchtime or dinner time, whenever that happened. You run out too fast. But in the cowboy shows, it's good for dramatic, you know, aspect. But that's the way this world is. Take that picture of that cowboy show and that desert, and the horse dies and you're about to die. And that's how your soul is living over here in the natural world. And you're worried about your brisket and your Dr. Pepper and your, I don't know what this one is, doesn't have it, JCPenney jacket, okay? You're worried about it. You know what I mean? It's a desert. Your soul's not getting fed. Oh, you may be really enjoying life, and you're just, you know, you can't wait for every morning. You're going to go do this, and you're going to do that, and you're that. But I guarantee you, you're going to, down inside like David, my soul thirsteth for thee. If you're born again, that soul's thirsty and hungry. So, let's go back over to Matthew 6. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We've talked about but. It's a contrast how we're going to look at this and learn about that. We've talked about seek, and it's You're going to seek the Lord. You're going to seek the kingdom of God like a dog finding the scent. But it isn't like when it finds that scent that it just knows right where the rabbit is. The rabbit may have taken 18 different trails wherever the rabbit is, and the dog has to keep seeking, smelling, searching, gets off the trail, gets back on the trail. That's what our souls are. Our spiritual souls are doing. I get off the trail, and I'm over here in the world again. Do y'all ever do that? This is the time of year for a sermon like this, isn't it? All those New Year's resolutions. I'm going to get it right this time. You know, not so much over here, I'm going to spend more time over here. Well, I'm going to pray four times a day and read six chapters every day. And what did I hear yesterday? Most people don't make it past the third Friday of the month. And yeah, that's kind of the way it is. My New Year's resolution for a lot of years now is not to make any New Year's resolutions. And I've kept those. I tell you what, I've done really well in the last few years. All right. But yeah, we need to take an inventory and see. I'm not trying to beat you up and say, man, you guys have got to quit spending so much time over here. We've got to spend time over there. We've got to ask God for our daily necessities. He knows that we have need, but he tells us, again, I'll tell you, just to drive the point home, that we're praying for our daily bread. How often are you praying for your daily bread? Daily, all right? So here we are, and we, in my thinking, we need to be praying not only for this physical, but especially to feed our souls, feed our thirsty, parched souls. So, seek the kingdom first. Well, what is the kingdom? I mean, it's going to be interesting if we're going to seek the kingdom first, if that's what Jesus says to do. Probably ought to know what the kingdom is, so we're seeking the right thing. You know what I mean? Well, a kingdom is a area ruled over by a king. That's really tough, isn't it? There's a king here, and he's ruling this area. Well, it says that it's the kingdom of God. It's interesting, as I've started doing this study on kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. And did you know the only place the kingdom of heaven is spoke of, that phraseology, kingdom of heaven? Matthew. He's the only one that uses heaven. Now, he uses God also. He interchanges. The other writers all use God, kingdom of God. I'm going to say it's interchangeable. And there's verses that use it, and I didn't go try to find one. I intended to, and just now realized I forgot to do that. That there's a verse that uses kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, same verse. And guess what? If it says kingdom of heaven in that verse, which book do I need to look in? Thank you. Because Matthew's the only one with the kingdom of heaven in the phraseology. So anyway, so it's the kingdom of. In other words, it's coming forth from God. There's this kingdom that comes forth from God. We're not talking about seeking heaven as in God's throne room over yonder in heaven where the souls are and the cherubims and the holy, holy, holy is being sung. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a piece of that that's been blessed that we might have and God would bless us with something like that. God is, it comes from God. He is the king. He is the monarch over it. We as Americans don't understand kingships and monarchy. People from England probably would get a greater idea of it, but it's not like this monarchy. This monarchy would be more like Nebuchadnezzar back in the Old Testament that ruled it all, and his word was his word. And the kings in England are more of a constitutional monarchy. In earlier times, it wasn't that, but it kept, you know, at more and more laws, and he'd have to live within the laws up until the time of King Charles I, and actually was put to death in England because he broke the laws. A monarch gets put to death because he broke the law. No, when you're the king and you're the area and you have total monarchy, you're it. You're not going to be put to death by it. And praise be to God that God is a good king. In him is no, God is light, and in him is no variableness or shadow of turning. He cannot lie. This king that we're going to try to seek and find out and follow the trail and find that kingdom where he's ruling and reigning and his monarchy that is total monarchy is a good monarchy. It's a good one. He cannot lie. Why can he not lie? He doesn't have the nature to lie. We have the nature. I saw it in my grandson yesterday or day before. Interesting. I won't say about it, but, you know, a little problem that he had. And that's the way it is. But we're all that way. I mean, if you tell me that, no, I've kind of put lying behind me. I don't do it much anymore. Well, maybe not much, but you're still doing it. if you say you don't at all, I can show you by the scriptures, you still are. You're lying saying it, you know. It's just, it's our nature. And it's hard for our natural brains. So here we are back, because we're natural. Here we are back in that aspect, for our natural brains to even conceive of somebody that never tells a lie, that never sins, never. He doesn't even think about sinning. He's too pure to think. God cannot even look upon sin. It's just incredible, this monarch that we serve in his kingdom. All other kings are compared to him. And he's called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's our king. It's who we serve. And not only that, guess what? We're the king's kids. We're not just subjects. We are subjects, but we're the king's children and subjects. It's a beautiful position. And it's what we're seeking, and how which level we're going to seek it at first. First, seek ye first this kingdom of God. I think that's, I say all other kings were compared to him. Who was the king in the Old Testament that all other kings were compared to? King David. David was the man. All other, you go read those other guys and said he did not whatever as his, you know, as King David or his father David or whatever. Didn't match up to it. This God, all of the kings, and if we think we're a king of some sort over something, we don't match up. I'm sorry. You ain't going to get there. Kingdom of God. So we're seeking this kingdom where Jesus is. Well, that's still a little bit ambiguous. What are we talking about? In my thinking, in my estimation, I've had times that I may be driving down the road, and I feel this, just this, I'm going to call it warmth, but it, you know, the heater's not on. May air conditioner maybe, and I don't know. I'm not talking about temperature, but or this, just something. And I could feel the presence of God. And I just felt my soul inside, not Victor's brain. It's interesting how the spirit that's in us, that spirit that doesn't sin, that part of us we have that doesn't sin. But it, and yet I don't want to separate it because it's who I am. It's just, like I say, rather complicated. But anyway, I can just feel the Lord. My soul is enjoying the refreshing time with the Lord, maybe while I'm driving down the road. Or there's been times I've sit down in the basement here, and two or three of us brethren, or sometimes a sister or two, and we get to talking about some things about the Lord, and you can just tell that the Lord's in our conversation, that he's made himself manifest at that moment. Have you all had those experiences? Are you able to relate? And then there's those times that I really enjoy when I'm in a congregation of a church meeting. I think this is the greatest example of it, is when we're together and God comes into this room in a manifest sense and we can feel that he's in the room. And like I've told you in times past, I've been in a situation where I could tell he's in the room by looking at the others, and I'm as cold and thirsty. My soul is hungry. I want to be part of it. And I know I'm missing out. I'm not there. That to me is the king. The king is ruling and reigning at that time in our hearts. Now, are we talking about in this thing as far as that your destiny is toward hell, and if you seek the kingdom of God and you find it and make it, then your destiny becomes heaven? Not what I'm talking about. Not a minute. And we can prove that. If we go to over to John 3, you remember Nicodemus comes to John, comes to Jesus and says, you know, that I know you're a master and rabbi, and talks to Jesus, has his questions. And Jesus says to him that no man can see the kingdom of God except he be born again. Just fact. Put it in your head. You can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. So if you've been driving down the road and you feel that closeness with the Lord, or maybe you're at midnight or 1 or 2 in the morning and you can't sleep and you're reading God's word and you just feel like God's opened up a passage to you that just fits your condition at that moment, and you're a kingdom moment, is what I'm going to call it, then you have to be born again. That's what I'm talking about. That this is not talking about how to get born again. This is talking about how to feed your born again soul. All right? We're talking about food. Jesus picked out food, water, and raiment. How much good is food, water, and raiment to a naturally dead man? If we had a corpse laying up here, and we had, you know, lots of Dr. Pepper, brisket, and the finest, what some kind of suit, what would be a nice suit besides J.C. Penney? You know, that's my style. You know, is Armani one? I don't know. Pardon? Brooks Brothers suit, all here. Would that help that dead man? Not a minute. It ain't going to help him. Y'all understand the picture. Jesus is talking to live people. He's talking to people that are already born again. And he's talking to them over here in the spiritual aspect to feed their soul food and to give them a drink and to clothe them with his righteousness in a time here and now aspect, that while we live, and that's what he's talking about here, we can't serve two masters while we're going along. And here we are getting all worried about these things as we go along. We wouldn't even be worried about some of this stuff if we weren't born again. It's we don't have the facilities. The faculty's not there to think about God until you're born again. So here we are. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's not just one thing. You're supposed to seek two things. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, to me, righteousness, I always saw that word and just said, right doing, all right? So it's kind of a big word. Maybe y'all get along with it. There's some things that just trip me up in my brain, and my brain can be easily tripped up. So I hit that word while I'm reading righteousness, and finally I just said, oh, that means right doing. Well, yeah, but that don't quite cover it. What about you can have somebody up here. I mean, I could be the most corrupt criminal ever and do some right things, and you look at me and say, oh, he must be righteous. He's doing right. But what if I'm thinking wrong? You know what I'm saying? I'm doing these things on the outside because I can deceive you something else. Well, now see, righteousness doesn't only involve right doing, but it has to be right thinking, doesn't it? Yeah, and then, well, what about that? You can be thinking right, or maybe right thinking and right motives is the same in just different terminology. I don't know. We don't have it. I'll just say that to you. We don't have the ability to be righteousness. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, meaning it's looking at you. It's egotism, self-centered, egocentric. That's what vanity means. We're all in our natural state over here looking at ourselves. That's where it is. We don't have this kind of righteousness until we have been blessed when we're born again, that God, Jesus Christ, has taken his righteousness and covered us with his righteousness. It's talked about as clothing to us, his righteousness, and we're clothed in the righteousness in a eternal and experiential aspect, and it's covenantal in all those aspects of covenantal before the foundation of the world, and legally done on the cross. But we're over here more in the experiential aspect of it, that we're trying to live from day to day, and we have a definite physical side to us. And over here is our spiritual soul that's thirsty and hungry and desires to have clothing on it. So it's got to be more than just our kind of righteousness. If we're seeking God's righteousness, we're seeking righteousness. As I said before, this monarch that we serve, is all good. He's completely righteous. His motives are right. His thinking is right. His doing is right. He can do no wrong. It's just, he is just all completely right. And we need to seek that. In other words, understand it. It's not, it's like, you know, when I go to do a brisket, I get the idea in my head, and I got to go to the grocery store. I've got to pick out, you know, which one. I haven't bought many of them, so I watch YouTube to say, what, this is a better one than this, and look for this, and look for that. So I go, and, you know, the six or seven that's at Kroger, you know, I look through them. I don't know what I'm doing. I could have probably grabbed any of them, been as good as the other. But I'm trying to do it, you know what I mean? And I get home and get my egg out and get the charcoals and, you know, all of the stuff that I'm trying to do. I'm seeking to have a good brisket to eat, right? In the same manner, in the same aspect, my soul is hungering. And I need to be seeking God's righteousness. How is God righteous? We can read it in God's word. We can learn more about his righteousness. There's so many verses. I wrote a bunch down. I'm like, there's just no way to get all that. Read the word. It's all about God and his righteousness. Maybe we can go to one verse or two or three. We'll go there in a little bit, and I'll read you some of that. But we're to seek his righteousness as much as I'm putting in effort for the brisket. Well, put in effort to this other. I don't want to be beating you up. That's not the idea. Like, you dirty sinners, you've got to quit doing all this and get over here. That's not what I'm talking about. I want your souls, like I said before, to fare sumptuously, shall we say. All right, what did the Apostle John in John 3 told the elect lady? He told her, he said, I hope that, let me go over there and read that quick. John 3, or 3rd John, not John 3, 3rd John, I said it wrong. Over there, almost to Revelation. And I was wrong about the elect lady, maybe. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. What the Apostle John is saying is, I want your soul to prosper at the same rate that you're physically prospering. It's got to be at least equal, or you're going to be out of balance, and you see, you're going to be serving mammon. Does that make sense? That's the Apostle Paul's prayer. I want my soul, I don't know how you guys feel about it, I would kind of think you'd want your soul prospering more than your physical. Makes sense to me, if you're a child of God, that you want it that way, but at least even, okay? That your soul would prosper even as you're prospering in a physical sense. So here we are. We're to be seeking the kingdom of God, being in God's presence, God's manifest presence, to feed our souls and to seek his righteousness. Let's go over here. I think you all might recognize this. Psalms 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Have you all heard that before? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's talking about God's righteousness. It's perfect. I mean more than complete. I can have a perfect set of cards. In other words, the joker's not missing. You know, when I was a kid growing up, a card would go missing. And so most of the games, card games you play, you don't need the joker. So we'd take one of the jokers and write on here the six of diamonds. You know, that replacing it. No, we have a complete, this is more than a complete set. This is perfect. In other words, it's all right. Everything is, it's just, there's no wrong in it. It's perfect. Perfection. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. In other words, it's going to change you out of the physical and your soul to be fed converts us. The law of the Lord, reading God's word, converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I'm simple over here. Just a simple, ordinary, physical man. But the law of the Lord makes wise the simple. It feeds that soul, the law of the Lord. The statutes of God are right. And we're talking about that perfection right. The statutes of God are right, rejoicing the heart. This isn't this heart beating in here. And this isn't the heart of the new man that no man can understand how desperately wicked it is. We're talking about the heart of your soul, all right? And it's saying that the statute of the Lord's rejoicing the heart. You know, after I've had a nice meal and my Dr. Pepper, I'm kind of happy, you know? Happy enough to find an easy chair and go back to sleep. rejoicing the heart. This rejoicing is far beyond the rejoicing we have in this life. This is rejoicing from your soul rejoicing. And how do you get it? It's by reading the statutes of the Lord, seeking, going into God's word and sniffing it out and finding righteousness. I found some righteousness of God. And you follow it. And then you go some more and sniff out some other righteousness. You're seeking, God, where are you righteous? Show me in your word. I want to sniff it all out. I want to seek it out. I want to find it so my soul can be fed. My soul will be thirsty. And I'll be clothed with your righteousness. I'll be right before you. And you'll feel good. Well, let's keep going here. I don't want to go down that path yet. The fear of God is clean, enduring forever. There's no fear of God in this aspect. You're not worried about lightning bolts. Why, when I'm over here and messing up, I don't believe God shoots lightning bolts. And yet I'll have to say, I'm like, whew, I hope God doesn't. I don't know sometimes why God just doesn't thump me off of planet Earth. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? That's a fear of God. But if you're over seeking the Lord, there's no fear. There's rejoicing of the heart. I want me to have that, but even more, I want you all to have it. And even more, I want us all to be together and be rejoicing in heart and in the kingdom and enjoying the moments and time of that righteousness with him. Well, let's get this finished up. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of God are true and righteous altogether. Isn't this beautiful? Think of your soul in this. More to be desired are they. We're talking about that drink of water David wanted. We're talking about that food that just feeds the soul. We're talking about your clothes. You don't have on these sinful clothes and you feel dirty. You're talking about having on these robes of righteousness and they're spotless white and you're clean. And you can just feel clean for a little bit. And he says, more to be desired are they than gold. Oh, back over in the physical. It's more to be desired to have these things than it is to have just piles of physical gold. You can have Fort Knox and still have nothing. You're in a desert for your soul. Your soul is thirsting and you're starving to death and you're naked because you haven't got any of God's righteousness on you. In a here and now aspect, please understand, we're talking about God's children and just how to live from day to day here. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. What's the difference in gold? There's 24 carat, 14 carat. The smaller the carat gets, the more pure it is, isn't it? Does that mean that? I don't know how that works.
Higher.
24 carats better. So this is much fine 24 carat gold. It's better because that's over here natural. It's natural. All this gold's going to buy you is some food, something to drink, and more Brooks and what? Brooks and Nuns, what I was thinking, but that's not clothing. So. But anyway, J.C. Penney clothes, all right. Let me tell you the joke. I learned this joke a long time ago. I didn't know I was going to be a preacher. So this preacher gets out of seminary and says, first sermon, all right. And so here he is. And he's all worried about it, which I told Elaine this morning. She said, she's like, how you doing? And I said, well, you know, I'm not as nervous as I normally am, and that's making me nervous. But anyway, so this preacher puts, you know, in his pocket what he's going to talk about. So he said, the first person in the Bible I want to talk about is Noah. And he talks about Noah a little while. And the next person I want to talk about in the Bible is Abraham. He talks about, but then his piece of paper falls out, and he didn't know it. And he says, the next person I want to talk about in the Bible is J.C. Penney. So anyway, forgive my foolishness. I don't know why we did that. All right. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than 24 karat gold, and much of it, it says, than much fine gold, and sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. I don't know how it can be sweeter than honey. To me, there's nothing sweeter than honey. I wonder why. But it's sweeter than that. It's better than that. You'll enjoy it more than that. I like my French toast, I don't mean just honey dripped on it. I'm talking floating in it, all right? And swimming in it. That'd be better because it's on both sides. But it's better than all that. And I want my soul to be filled and not hungry, not famished. I don't want my soul to be, as David said, needing a drink of water. Oh, God, how does that go? Let's go back to that. Oh, God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. He's going to go root it out as a dog would do, or smell it out. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. God bless y'all.
Appreciate that message this morning. I'll get the one verse that Brother Victor was trying to find a little bit earlier. At least he said he meant to find. And that's Matthew chapter 19, verse 23, where it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, verily I say unto you, the rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, and then again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So there Matthew uses those two phrases, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. We see those used throughout the New Testament. But Matthew uses them interchangeably, which tells us that they both mean the same thing. And so what do they mean? What are they? And I think probably the simplest answer to that is that the kingdom that we're talking about here is not a place. We can't pull up our cell phones and Google map the kingdom. We can't find it. We're not going to find a place that has a set of borders around it, you know. We're not going to find a place on the map. We can't say, here, if you want to go to the kingdom, go here or go there. It doesn't work like that. Matter of fact, Paul tells us that the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. May not be in that order, but that's close enough. It tells us that in the book of Romans, that the kingdom is right. Now, the interesting thing about those three things is that they're not locations. They are experiences. We experience the righteousness of Christ here in this life. We have that moment where we feel to be right with God. That happens from time to time. Doesn't happen often for me, doesn't seem like, but there are times when I'm either preaching the gospel or I'm singing a good hymn or I'm just having one of those moments where God allows me the privilege of feeling the righteousness of Christ. In other words, feeling like all is right between me and God. There is what? Peace. Peace is an experience. And then because I have that peace, that righteousness gives me peace, I rejoice. I find joy in that moment. And that's the kingdom. It's that experience of Christ. It's that experience of God. It's an experience with Him and by Him. And that's why the Bible tells us that we press into the kingdom, right? Not a location we can go find, but we press into this experience. We're always seeking, or we should be seeking this experience. But it also tells us something else, that the kingdom is not over there. It's in us. That's It's almost contradictory, isn't it, that we press into something that is already in us? And the only way to really explain that is to realize that it is an experience, not a location. So it's in me, it's there, and though it may be there, I don't always experience it, right? So I seek that experience with God. I seek to know Him better. And the reason I seek to know Him better is because the way to love Him more is to know Him more. The more I know, the more I love. And that's really what it's all about. Certainly thankful this morning to be able to spend time together thinking about God, thinking about the things that God has done for us, thinking about the opportunities we have to experience Him here in this life. And we trust that the Lord will continue to watch us. We appreciate our visitors and our home folks, everybody that's here this morning. I appreciate all of you. We're going to stand on our feet and sing one verse of Amazing Grace, number 154.